Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Our website's libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. And man, oh man, I hope you had just a marvelous Christmas weekend, folks. I had a great weekend full of God, family, and country, full of the reason for the season. And I hope you did as well, because you know what? Man, if you didn't, you sure missed a wonderful opportunity. A wonderful opportunity to take away the stresses of the world, whether it be COVID, whether it be economics, whether it be just politics in general, or the crazy world we seem to live in, and the news you hear that's just discouraging and makes you just shake your head. You know, I hope you could take a step away from all that. So I had an incredible Christmas Eve. An incredible Christmas Eve, ladies and gentlemen. We focused on the story of Luke. We reenacted the birth of the Savior with shepherds and wise men. And, you know, I kind of thought to myself, you know, would you rather be a shepherd or a wise man? You know, what would you rather be? Kind of an interesting question, I guess, right? But would you rather be a shepherd or a wise man? And I kind of thought, you know what? I thought that I would be a shepherd rather than a wise man. Why, you say, huh? Would you rather be a shepherd or a wise man? I chose shepherd, and I'll tell you why. The wise men, I'm sure, were great people. But they had big money. Obviously, to come bring the gifts that they brought, the three gifts from the three wise men. They had money, right? Or they had very fancy jewels or you know, special things to give. The shepherds really had nothing to give. The shepherds spent their time literally outside, guarding the flocks. And, you know, a wise man, if you're not very careful, they say that a rich man and a wise man, somebody who's too learned or too rich, oftentimes they're the ones that have the biggest struggle getting into heaven, right? It's kind of like going through the eye of a needle, as they say. And I'm not here to criticize anybody who has wealth or who has wisdom. You know, those are wonderful traits if Jesus Christ is put first. But the shepherds play the role of the great shepherd. You know, the symbolism of the shepherd is how the Savior Jesus Christ leads his flock, we the people. It's compared to how a shepherd leads his flock. He loves them. He cares for them. He helps them when they're injured. He goes after them when they're lost. He does all these things for his sheep. Incredible sacrifice. Well, that's compared to what the Savior Jesus Christ does for us, right? Anyway, so I've decided that I'd rather be a shepherd if I was back in the day than a wise man. Just saying. See, I think about things like that, you know? I really do my best to think about things like that, and I hope it makes some sense to all of you. So I've chosen, if I had to be a, you know, a shepherd or a wise man, I'd be a shepherd. I really would. All right, now, let's talk a little bit more about the Savior's birth, about Christmas. You know, I believe the real Christmas event took place in early April. If you go study, you know, the theology and the Savior's birth and everything else, I think it happened in the springtime. And so I believe Easter is more of the Savior's real birth than Christmas. However, the reason I celebrate Christmas is because I'll take any day to celebrate my Lord. Any day to celebrate the sacred cause of liberty and Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and his eternal sacrifice, the atonement of his incredible resurrection, thus giving me not only the chance for life, but the chance to live with him again. Come follow me. He'll take my burdens and he'll take my sins if I turn them over to him. And what a wonderful doctrine. What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful chance for change, right? And I find that very valuable, very comforting, very strengthening, personally, right? All right, well, we read Christmas stories. I don't know if I mentioned this on the radio. I think I did. We read Christmas stories every single day of the month of December. And we read a Christmas story, and they're just incredible. I mean, I cry every time, even though I've heard the stories over and over and over and over. And one of the stories that I really love that we read is, it's about the idea of the fourth wise man. And I don't know how many of you have heard this story or whatever else. And, you know, we don't really know how many wise men there were, right? There were many, at least according to the Bible, wise men that seeked the Savior, that read the signs in the stars, and watched for and waited on prophecy to be fulfilled, right? So we know that there were more. We don't know how many wise men there were, I don't think. But anyway, the idea is this story of the fourth wise man, and it covers the story of this guy. I think his name was it Artemis? Anyway, and he basically, the story starts out, the one that I read for Christmas, is that this fourth wise man agreed with his friends about the signs of the times and said, as soon as we see the sign, I will hurry and hustle and join you, brethren, and then we'll all go together to seek the Savior. And long story short, he packed up his bags as soon as he saw the sign, and he went as fast as he could, and he just couldn't get there in time, so his friends left him. And then he was supposed to go across the desert all by himself, which he did. And he kept following the Savior, but he'd miss him every time. So he missed him in where he thought, Jerusalem. Then he went to Nazareth, and he was gone again. And then he went to Egypt, and then he was gone again. And then he came back to Jerusalem, and, well, he thought he could prevent the Savior's death, but, of course, he couldn't. That's the line of the story. He followed the Savior literally everywhere the Savior went over time, seeking him, and it took 30-plus years or whatever it is. But along the way, he had his own three gems that he was going to give the baby Jesus when he found him. But every time he would go along, he would have some event that would pause him on his quest. That's right, that would pause him on his quest. And it would pause him for an act of service. So the first time, it kind of mirrors the story of the Good Samaritan, where he finds a man on the road and basically ends up giving away his first jewel to care for this man. And it delays him. That's why he missed his friends in the first place. And then second, he had the chance when he was in, I think it's Nazareth. And he had the chance to protect a baby. So the Savior was already gone into Egypt, but he was able to protect a baby because Herod was coming to kill all males. And so he used his second jewel to protect a mother and her boy child. And then he used the third stone to rescue a girl who was going to be sold into slavery to pay the debts of her deceased father. And he gives this third stone, puts it in her hand, and frees her. And Anyway, long story short, then he dies. But he dies just as the Savior Jesus Christ is carrying his cross up the hill. What, to the hill? Is it Golgotha? I think it is, right? So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he eventually carries his cross to Golgotha. And anyway, so this Artemis, fourth wise man, literally saves this girl with his third stone, his third precious gift for the Savior. And when he dies, because of the destruction that takes place, he sees the Savior. And when he sees the Savior, he says, "I'm sorry, Lord, I failed. I wasn't able to meet you. I wasn't able to give the baby Jesus his gifts. I just spent my life running around." And the Savior says, "No, come unto me. You win the prize, if you will. Bless you. Come unto me. You've done all that I've asked." And the fourth wise man says, "Where have I done all that you've asked? When you did all these things, you did them unto me," is the point of the story. And so it's an example. It's not a real story in terms of factual biblical account by any means. But the idea is, are we all the fourth wise men? Are we all the ones that can serve those around us? And as we do so, eventually gain our own salvation. I am Sam Bushman. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated global reach on the internet radio program, truth telling on your radio. So I'm telling you about this story. I got the name wrong, though. I said that it was Artemis. I'm wrong. The name is Artaban. It was the name of the fourth wise man in my story. Artaban is his name. So anyway, Artaban spent his life following the Savior physically from place to place, trying to catch up with him. Never got there, but then died. And the account is that, you know what? In that you served those around you. You've done what I asked, to love your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. and then love thy neighbor as thyself. Your neighbor is everybody you come in contact with, not your physical neighbor necessarily that you live by, right? Now, the person you live by certainly is your neighbor too. I'm just saying that it's beyond that is the point. The neighbor in the Good Samaritan story was not the guy's real next door neighbor, right? It was the guy in the street that he knew not who it even was, for that matter. They were of different, quote, ethnicities, for that matter, were they not? At least different regions of the country where they didn't like one another, at least historically. Do we serve those around us, ladies and gentlemen? Can we put ourselves in the position of the fourth wise man and say, hey, you know what? I want to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe not physically everywhere he goes, as the story articulates in the fourth wise man scenario, but I'm talking about in our lives. Follow him in word and in deed, ladies and gentlemen. How about that idea, huh? Can we follow the Savior Jesus Christ in word and in deed? Can we receive his image in our countenance? Can we be a disciple, a follower of Christ? I don't mean an apostle, one of the 12. I mean a disciple, a follower of Jesus, right? Can we be his hands on the earth? Can we change our lives and behave such so that we follow the Prince of Peace and in essence become peace-seeking followers of Christ? That would be the quest. That would be the hope. That would be the desire. At least I would hope the desire of all of our hearts, right? Anyway, so I tell you the story of the fourth wise man to kind of give an idea about where we fit in. You know what? We may not be in Audubon. We might not have lived in the time of the Savior. But understand that this point that I'm trying to get across has to do with how we live our lives. It has nothing to do with time and space and whether you have gems of great worth like the fourth wise man did or the first of the three. This has to do with I would choose to be a shepherd, not even a wise man. I'm not very wise, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the older I get, the more I feel like I'm unwise or that I'm lacking in wisdom. I learn how great God is. I learn the knowledge of the world, and I have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, you know, believe it or not. But it's pittance. It's nothing compared to the knowledge of God or the knowledge of the world as a whole, right? I'm like this big, tiny in the scheme of things. But even though I'm tiny, and even though it's easy to lose sight and think I'm a nobody, ladies and gentlemen, I am huge. Why? Not because of me. I'm not talking about physical size. I am huge because I am a son of Almighty God. Yeah, we're all sons and daughters of God, right? And as such, we have a godly heritage, as did the three wise men, as did the shepherds, as did the fourth wise man story of the example I gave about Audubon. I know I said Artemis before, but it's Audubon. All right. We're huge because of the impact we can have as we follow Jesus Christ. Understand that he can make more of your life. He can make more of my life than we can. And so when you hear about the great people of the earth and the accomplishments they made, they will all, for the most part, there's exceptions, I'm sure, but they will all tell you that it was Jesus Christ, George Washington, for instance. He didn't take all the credit. He got down on his knees before his maker many a time and pled for wisdom and guidance and counsel and direction and comfort and strength and, right? We must do the same in our lives, is the point. And then we must get up and go to work and seek. Baby Jesus, says Audubon did. And in that seeking, in that hard work, in that day-to-day, day-in and day-out effort, we forge who we become. See, it isn't so important to know where you were yesterday. It is important to know where you are today and where you want to go tomorrow. That's really important, right? Like a compass, you got to make sure you're headed in the right direction. And you got to have faith in Christ and repent daily. Because as you do, you begin this great slow change. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in an instant. It's kind of an inch-by-inch thing. It's a little bit like the train, I think I can getting to the top of the hill, right? It's a lot of hard work. But I'm telling you that if we put in the work to become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we learn to follow and make our God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then we, well, let him become the captain of our souls, if you will. We literally then say, I'm going to do all that I can, because that's what you asked me to do. You asked me to give everything and follow you, Lord. And as I do that, then the Lord, through his atonement, makes up for my personal failings, my inadequacies. See, I'm a son of God in the spirit. My parents created a physical body for me on this earth, right? But Jesus Christ was literally the Son of God in spirit and body. A big difference, ladies and gentlemen. So in no way am I saying I'm on par with Jesus Christ. I don't mean to assert such at all. But I do know biblically it says we're literally the offspring of God. And spiritually, that's true. And in the spirit, then, I need to turn towards my Creator. And as I do so, then I gain this great, I'm not sure what words to use, but this great atonement sacrifice brought to my life by the Savior through love. It's love that allowed, or I should say that enabled his sacrifice. He did it willingly out of love for me. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even on the hill Golgotha hanging on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That means all of us too, not just the Romans at the time. It's all of us through history. We don't know what we do, because if we really understood completely, we would never, never wound the Savior afresh. We would never add insult to injury, if you will. We would change. But you know what? We don't really understand. We learn line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are to love us, to tutor us, to teach us, to lead us, to be the greatest shepherd of all. And that, my fellow Americans, is the story of the fourth wise man. And I hope we're wise enough to be shepherds in our own way, to where we lead people to Christ, to where we do our very best to set the example, to where we repent, have faith, to where we realize that it's about baptism and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's about these fundamental principles that put us on the covenant path as followers of disciples of the Savior Jesus Christ. And in that commitment to be a disciple, we put our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our fears on the altar of the atonement willingly. And that's why Jesus says, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. He'll give us rest. He'll give us peace. He'll give us the chance to live again. Thus, the focus on the resurrection, not the dead Savior, but the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, is to whom we look for salvation, for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. That is what this whole radio program for the last 25 years plus has been about, the sacred cause of liberty. Merry Christmas. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Thousands of customers were without power Monday as a storm slammed the Pacific Northwest, forcing some highways in Northern California and Nevada to close. With travel warnings issued in the Sierra Nevada mountains, more than 6,000 flights worldwide have been canceled over the three-day Christmas weekend as airlines continue to contend with Omicron policies that are in place, creating staff shortages. A conflation of events. That's how Dr. Fauci on ABC News describes the latest COVID-19 test kit shortages in America.
The situation where you have such a high demand, a conflation of events, Omicron stirring people to get appropriately concerned and wanting to get tested, as well as the fact of the run on tests during the holiday season. We've obviously got to do better. I mean, I think things will improve greatly as we get into January, but that doesn't help us today and tomorrow.
USA Radio News.
Here's a great thing to consider doing right now before the end of the year. Call MediShare and find out just how much you would save by switching to MediShare, the affordable alternative to health insurance. When you call, you'll get some good news and probably be very happily surprised, too. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. It's so worth it to at least find out. And you'll see why more than 400,000 people are already members. MediShare is a Christian community that shared more than $4 billion in each other's healthcare costs. It really is remarkable, and they're very easy to talk to. And here's the thing. If you join before the end of the year, they'll waive your new member fee. That's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second. The call, and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Biden and First Lady Jill took part in a Santa Tracker event with NORAD officials on Friday to speak with callers tracking Santa Claus for Christmas. Father of four, Jared from Oregon, took a poke at the president.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
A Missouri woman is behind bars this morning.
Police say a 32-year-old Missouri woman has admitted to killing her boyfriend on Christmas Eve with a sword. But they say Brittany Wilson explained she had to do it because she needed to set him free of the other entities living inside his body. They picked her up at her home in Cape Girardeau after she called 911 herself. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The James Webb Space Telescope was developed by NASA with contributions from the European Space Agency and the Canadian Space Agency. The telescope is roughly 100 times more powerful than Hubble and is trailing Earth by about 1 million miles in a solar orbit around the sun. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, people are saying, Sam, why are you playing Christmas tunes, buddy? Don't you know Christmas is over? Yes, indeed, I know. But I want to hold on to the feeling. I want to hold on to the reason for the season just a little bit longer. I want us to think about Christmas, or at least the meaning of Christmas, and I want to reflect that in our thoughts and our actions a whole lot longer than Christmas Day, ladies and gentlemen. How about you? Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to say this. What a sad day it is, folks. Literally, Joe Biden, I don't even know how to describe what happened here. But here's what happened. Joe Biden was on a phone call with a bunch of people. And a father was on that call with Joe. And the father ended the call by saying, Merry Christmas. Let's go, Biden. And Joe Biden literally agreed and said, I agree. Let's go, Biden. I mean, let's go, Brandon. I did that on purpose. He didn't say, let's go, Biden. He said, let's go, Brandon. And then Joe reiterated, let's go, Brandon. And so understand something, ladies and gentlemen. Literally, the president of the United States does not know what that means at all. Because he just said, let's go, Brandon. the father said that. He said he didn't mean any harm, any malice, any bad. He just was trying to have fun and use his First Amendment and everything else. But Joe Biden literally said, I agree, let's go, Brandon. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you know what that means, right? We have the president of the United States literally saying this kind of stuff about himself. I don't believe at all, clearly, knowing what he's talking about or what he's doing. I mean, it's a sad tale in America. Is Joe that ignorant, really? I don't know. I just know this. In my opinion, shame on the parent for using it. And sadly, they let somebody needs to pull the president aside, whether he agrees the president or not isn't the point. Somebody needs to pull Joe aside and say, Joe, I wouldn't say let's go Brandon anymore if I were you, because here's what it means. It's a polite way, some say, to literally say F the president of the United States or F Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon. So literally the president on a phone call, and now they're playing the sound bites in the news where Joe Biden is saying, yeah, I agree. Let's go, Brandon. So Joe Biden's saying, yeah, I agree. F Joe Biden. Without even knowing it. He's literally becoming the laughing stock of the world, ladies and gentlemen. And so somebody needs to pull him aside. I don't know why they didn't pull him aside and explain this to him before, how they'd let him fall into that kind of deal. I don't know if this is intentionally done. I just don't know. I just find it to be the strangest thing. And I reject the Let's Go Brandon message altogether. I don't like the message of running around saying F anybody. It's crass. It's rude. It's mean. It's unkind. It's not civil. In fact, if it's pursued, that viewpoint, I predict will spill into violence. Not that I want it to. I'm just telling you, that's the end game with that kind of an attitude, right? I don't like any, I don't want any part of it, folks. I really don't. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. A quick recap. This was Friday's show. We did a Christmas Eve live show. On Saturday, we were not live. Sometimes I'm live on Christmas, but hardly ever. I'm oftentimes live on Thanksgiving and other holidays, though, because I really want to spend as much time with you, our radio family, as I possibly can. But, you know, there's just some times where I've just got to give my kids and my wife and really the focus. But on Friday, the Christmas Eve day broadcast, if you will, we talked about the importance of agency and love. And we are with Chris Carlson, who talks about without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. And we discussed all things liberty. We talked about Merry Christmas from your Liberty Roundtable team. Yes, we are live Christmas Eve day. And we played Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. It was for the American Heritage a cappella choir. A great rendition there. We also talked about let us celebrate the Savior's birth with purpose. Then we had a little bit of levity from Chris Carlson. He says, Sam, have you got your Donald Trump no action figure yet? From your favorite psychopathic Trump supporter. It's guaranteed to satisfy constituents who demand excuses rather than results. It was a little bit of a joke about a Christmas gift that isn't real. But we talked about Donald Trump reveals his stripes. It is impossible for Donald Trump to be ignorant of the COVID conspiracy, but yet he pushes vaccines nevertheless because he doesn't want to save face and he wants to have a legacy. We then talked about this incredible story from Glenn Rossen called The Christmas Gift of Freedom. Does God care about human freedom? And the answer is a resounding yes, he does. We talked about if you're not giving up, stand in the gap and do both carnal and spiritual battle. And that's not meant to be violent. That's just meant to say, you know what, do all you can for the sacred cause of liberty. It is a culture war, and we're losing the moral high ground in America. Thus, even the President of the United States uses a slur against himself ignorantly. We finished We finished the hour talking about the birth of Christ and the birth of America are linked to Chuck Baldwin. That incredible article can be found on libertyroundtable.com. And in hour two of the broadcast, we talked about Fauci warns Americans not to invite your unvaccinated Americans or your unvaccinated relatives to Christmas. And if you have invited them, disinvite them, says Fauci. In my opinion, not a very Christian stance at all. Sam Bushman, I urged differently. I said, please look around you. Let's make sure that everyone has a place to go for Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, you decide which viewpoint is the Christian one. And I would hope you'd do likewise. If you have had COVID, by the way, you're likely protected for life, says Joseph Mercola. And believe it or not, there's a new study pointing this out as well. If you've had COVID-19, even a mild case, a major congratulations to you, as you've more than likely got long-term immunity. That's according to a team of researchers from Washington University School of Medicine. In fact, you might have immunity for life. That's the case with many infectious agents, and they're expecting, and their research shows that it's true for COVID as well. We then had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, a miracle that he's alive and that he's with us on your radio, celebrating Christmas at home with his family. What a blessing that is. We talked about this North Carolina County Sheriff. It's called Columbus County. His name is Jody Green. He refuses to take down Bible verse in his office. Says he's afraid of burning in hell. Yeah, America's forebears established a written covenant with God. We need to honor that covenant. We need to carry forward that legacy. We need to honor those covenants that our forefathers made on our behalf if we ever expect to restore liberty in this great land again. That is the key to the exercise, I'm telling you right now. Anyway, great, great couple of hours on Friday. That broadcast is still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. All right, I want to play this phone call. We got it from the news. We isolated the soundbite. Here is Joe Biden himself, folks. All right, we'll work on getting that soundbite together here in a minute after the pause. We'll come back and play that. In the meantime, though, you know what? I take copious show notes on all the different shows that we do. And I do for a reason. Some people say, Sam, your notes are too detailed. They're too long. Just simplify it, man. Come on. It takes too much work. I do it for a bunch of reasons. One, because I want you guys to know where the stories that I talk about come from, where they are. Okay, and if there's a story that I can let you know about where it came from, then I highlight that. If it's a story that's in a ton of news articles, sometimes I don't quote the source because there's too many sources, right? So, for example, I'm going to have a story coming up here that'll be from townhall.com. I want to give you where the stories come from. I also highlight a lot of this because I want to document so that if you're listening to a show, you can have a good idea where to, you know, fast forward and rewind to listen if you're interested in just a specific part. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind
blow. Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. Hope you're all doing fantastic. We're talking about this Biden thing. I mean, you literally, with the Joe Biden thing, have a scenario where the poor president of the United States literally ignorantly, as best I can tell, literally says, F the president. It's kind of in a roundabout way, right? But how much the president really knows about what he said, I don't know. But you would think that somebody would help him, wouldn't you? You would think somebody would tell the president what was happening so he'd be savvy about this. But he kind of got trapped. He kind of got, I don't know what you call it, shanghaied. Now, the parent that did it said that he didn't mean any harm. Said, I didn't really mean any harm. I just, wanted to use my, First Amendment rights? Whatever that means, right? And I look at that and I go, you know, I believe personally that had to be a strategic, intentional mocking of the president. I'm not really fond of it. I think it was a shame. Whether this guy, that's not the time to put forth your First Amendment rights. Let's see if I can play this clip here. Here's Joe.
It's for Christmas. Father of four, Jared from Oregon, took a poke at the president.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
A Missouri woman is behind bars.
There you have it. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. The guy literally mocks the president. Now, the father, to avoid attack, is kind of acting like, well, I meant well. I'm a good guy. I didn't mean any harm there, kind of thing, right? But, folks, you can't be doing that. Now the poor president of the United States looks very, very, very foolish. We made a laughingstock of the president around the world. Anyway, I'd rather be a shepherd, ladies and gentlemen. I'd rather lead by example and say, look, I don't think that's something you ought to do to any president. I'm not fond of Joe Biden in any way, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not protecting Joe. I didn't vote for Joe, and I think Joe got to be president under very, very concerning circumstances. I believe there was vote fraud and manipulation that got him there. He would have never been elected. I don't believe in Joe or his policies or anything else. I couldn't be more against Joe if I tried. From a political or a an opinion or a viewpoint, a position, I couldn't be further from Joe. I personally believe Joe Biden is a criminal. And I don't think he's a legitimate president of the United States, not on appropriate moral grounds. But nevertheless, I don't want any harm to come to President Biden. And I'm telling you right now, I would certainly never make fun of the president and mock him in such a way as to make him look foolish on the national stage. Remember in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, we're taught, this is really important to understand, we're taught not to dig a pit for our neighbor. We're taught not to take advantage of somebody because of their words. You know full well if Biden knew what that meant, he would have never said, oh, yeah, let's go, Brandon, I agree. He wouldn't have done that. And if he did do that, what's the purpose? See, but if we're not careful, we end up digging a pit for our neighbor. We end up taking advantage of somebody because of their words. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to do that even to people that we're politically opposed to. That's not the coming together that Joe Biden says that he wants. See, Joe Biden, like Martin Luther King Jr., has great phrases, great words. I agree with a lot of them. I don't agree with their lives and what they really stand for. But, you know, I Have a Dream was an incredible idea that we judge someone on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. I couldn't agree more. If you study Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and you realize that's not even his real name, then you realize that he didn't really live the life of a leader, of a pastor, of a preacher, of a religious guy like he wanted you to believe. But I agree with the words that he said. Well, same thing with Joe Biden. You know, I agree with a lot of what Biden's saying. Hey, we got to stop the vaccine pandemic. We got to care for our neighbors and love people. We got to come together. We got to unite, as he said at the start of his presidency. I agree with a lot of those things. But I don't agree with his carrying of that out, if you will. Right? But fascinatingly, I don't think that we need to take advantage of somebody because of their words. I think that this father, I mean, in a way, he couldn't have known what Joe would respond. But you don't say that on a call, Merry Christmas, and then literally say, Merry Christmas, F the president. And the president's like, I agree, man, F the president, or F Joe. What a disgrace at Christmas time. Are we digging a pit for our neighbor, ladies and gentlemen? Are we taking advantage of somebody because of their words? Is that what we've spiraled to in America? I pray the answer is no, but sadly, the evidence is a little bit too much in your face, is it not? The evidence is just a little bit too, whoa, right? In my opinion, that's of great concern. That's of great concern indeed. Wow, I want to mention this both hours, so I'm going to mention it now. I'm going to tease the topic a little bit and then dig in a little bit more next hour. But Dr. Ben Carson, on vaccinating children, this is really a giant experiment. Do we want to put our children at risk when we know that the risk of the disease is relatively small, but we don't know what the future of the vaccine risk will be? See, I commend Ben Carson. Why would we do a thing like that, he asks. Townhall.com is where the article comes from. And there's a soundbite that I'll play coming up regarding this. Next hour, we'll talk a whole lot more about the coronavirus. We'll talk a whole lot more about what's happening on airplanes. We've got a lot to cover in the show. But you know what? Rather than being so hardcore on the news right now, I want to focus a little bit more on the tenor of the nation. We've got to get rid of so much bread and circus. We've got to get rid of so much socialism. We've got to replace it with a belief in God. We've got to replace it with a strong view of and hope of and investment in family. We've got to work on the principles that made America a great country and focusing on those principles. That's where the solutions lie. So this next year, ladies and gentlemen, for 2022, I really want to make sure that we focus on truth. all truth. We seek for the truth. We embrace the truth. We glory in the truth. The truth shall make you free, we're taught, right? And so what is truth? What is reality? I submit to you that truth and reality are things as they were, as they are, and as they will be. Not a fantasy, not a made-up view, not my dream, your dream, or a hope from somebody else, not a vision from an Obama or a Biden or a Clinton or a Bush or a Trump or anybody. You're not going to have personal saviors, ladies and gentlemen, trusting in the arm of flesh and the political solutions in Washington. That isn't where truth is found. Truth is found in the fundamentals of God, family, and country. What do I mean by fundamentals? I mean that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives. And he loves his children. That's us. And he is engaged in the world. It's not a deist idea where he winds up the clock and walks away kind of a God. It's a God that literally is involved in our lives, that he's interested in the one, in each of us, that he understands who we are better than we do ourselves. And he loves us. And he has a plan of happiness for all of us. We can learn where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. We can then apply that general knowledge that we get about God's love and about the Savior's sacrifice and about their clarion call for us to follow Christ, and that we can live again. That is the key. What is this life for? Why are we here? What ought we accomplish while on this earth? Our short span of mortality. What ought we accomplish in that short span? See, one fundamental truth is that all truth or all things that are facts are not equal. And facts oftentimes does not equate to truth. You can point out a ton of facts and not even be close to the truth. The truth is beyond facts, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is very, very clear and simple. The truth is things as they were, as they are, and as they will be in a factual reality-based point of view. That is the truth. And the truth, ladies and gentlemen, encompasses all. It's not just a sliver. It's the whole picture. The Lord is the only source of real truth, the only source of all knowledge, the only source of all the facts. Facts that then equate to wisdom, because just facts don't save you. Wisdom, faith, trust, hope, those are the principles that can save you. Even Satan knows that Jesus is the Christ. Doesn't help Satan much, does it? Why? Because Satan chose not to follow Christ. Remember, he was the son of the morning, and he got cast out for rebellion. Understand that truth, because that provides the core for the battle on earth. Satan wanted to be glorified above God. Never going to happen. And now the war on earth continues that was started in heaven by those who wouldn't obey God. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a real truth-telling opportunity across the country to the whole world. For 2022, my goal is to focus on that truth like nobody's business. I want to be a truth teller all the days of my life. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. If you like what we do, donate and help us, please. God save the Republic.